Governor Palin has sued the federal government, trying to reverse the decision to put the polar bear on the threatened species list. Palin says there isn't enough evidence to support that listing. She says the listing could harm oil and gas development, and she says climate models showing the continued loss of sea ice are unreliable. But this week, the National Snow and Ice Data Center reports that sea ice is at its second lowest level since they started keeping records 3 decades ago and could reach an all-time record low within weeks. And as sea ice shrinks, that puts polar bears in trouble. Earlier this month, government scientists flying over Alaska's Chukchi Sea spotted 10 polar bears swimming in open water, an unusually high number. Yesterday, Margaret Williams flew out over the Arctic Ocean with the Coast Guard looking for polar bears. Williams directs the Alaska office of the World Wildlife Fund, and she joins us from Anchorage. Ms. Williams, what did you see out there?
Melissa, we flew for miles and miles before we saw any ice at all. We took off out of Barrow, and about 60 miles from shore, we saw our first bear, and it was actually an adult female bear with a little cub. They were both in open water. There was some ice around, but it was very poor ice, certainly far from ideal polar bear habitat. It was kind of a slurry of open water with little pieces of ice floating around, so not what polar bears really like to live and hunt on.
So that was one sighting. Did you see other polar bears in the water, too?
We did. We saw three other bears. They were adult bears. Two of them were swimming. One was on a round sort of large iceberg, and it's not unusual to see polar bears swimming, but what's unusual is to see this type of ice condition, and it's not what polar bears thrive on. They need solid ice, they need ice to hunt on, and they need seals and prey, which are found in the productive waters and also depend on the sea ice.
I do think of polar bears as being exceptionally strong swimmers, but this is a worrisome thing to see this many bears in open water with so little ice around them.
Well, it really is, and it was both thrilling and heartrending to see these mom and cub together, this pair of bears, knowing that they're going to have a really tough road ahead. They may have enough tiny bit of ice to stay on for the next month, but the water is melting the ice from beneath. So literally, the ice is melting beneath their feet. In addition to polar bears, we saw thousands of walruses out on the sea ice on the little pieces of floating ice platforms. And walruses are very similar to polar bears in that they depend on sea ice for survival. They rest on the sea ice, they dive and eat from the sea ice, they dive down to the bottom of the sea. So they are just like the polar bear, they're very dependent on the state of the sea ice. And we're extremely concerned that if ice is melting beneath the feet of the polar bear, it's also going to be melting beneath the walruses. All of these species depend on the sea ice. And the sea ice is an incredible little ecosystem. The plankton starts to bloom and blossom on the base of the sea ice, and it becomes the basis for a very, very rich food chain in the Arctic Ocean. So we're very concerned about what happens in the next month as the sea ice continues to melt.
You do see projections about summer sea ice, that there could be no summer sea ice at all in anywhere from 5 to maybe 20, 25 years. I've heard it referred to as a death spiral. What did it look like from above? What were you seeing?
Well, we saw a lot of open water, and then we saw ribbons of ice, little slurries of ice, as though someone had poured a slushy across a vast ocean. There were two such ribbons of ice separated by about 50 miles. And in the first ribbon of ice, that's where we saw the walruses and the polar bears, because that slurry of ice was above the continental shelf, which means shallow water, productive water, and the place where polar bears and walrus like to feed. The next ribbon of ice, which was about 100 miles out from shore, was in deeper water. We didn't see much life there. We didn't see any walrus. We didn't see any bears out there. So that's what happens when the ice starts to recede into the deeper waters. If the polar bears are forced into those deeper waters, they are in an area without much to eat. And while the bears that we saw may have to face a choice, do we swim to shore where there's not much food, or do we swim further north to another area of ice where there may not be much food either?
Well, Margaret Williams, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Margaret Williams directs the Alaska office of the World Wildlife Fund. She spoke with us from Anchorage.